Welcome, dads, to the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast, the ultimate destination for all fathers who are committed to leading a healthier, happier, and more fulfilled life. I'm your host, Leroy Fore, and I'm absolutely thrilled to have you here on this podcast today. On this show, we are on a mission to inspire, motivate, and encourage you to be the absolute best father that you can be for your kids. Whether you're a seasoned pro in the world of fitness or just starting out on your journey to better health, this podcast is your go-to resource for all things related to living a fit and balanced life while juggling the joys and challenges of fatherhood. We understand that being a dad is one of life's greatest blessings, but it also comes with its fair share of responsibilities. Balancing work, family, and personal health can be a daunting task. But fear not, because here at the Fit Dad Lifestyle, we've got your back. Throughout our episodes, we'll be bringing you expert interviews, real life stories, actionable tips that will empower you to make positive changes in your life. Whether you want to shed those extra kilograms, boost your energy levels, strengthen your relationships, or simply find more joy in your everyday experiences, we've got you covered. Expect to be inspired by the incredible stories of fellow dads who have overcome challenges and achieved remarkable feats. Get ready to be motivated by experts who will share their knowledge and wisdom, guiding you towards a healthier lifestyle. And most importantly, prepare to be encouraged by a supportive community of like-minded fathers who are on this journey alongside you. So whether you're driving to work, hitting the gym, or just unwinding after a long day, let the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast be your companion. Tune in, absorb the positivity, and let it fuel your determination to become the best version of yourself. Not just for you, but for your kids, your family, and everyone whose lives you touch. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the episode. Guys, welcome back. 159 episodes. We are back. I was going to call it season two, but I just continue. We're going to keep rolling on. Let's aim for 1,000. I know that's ambitious. It's taken us a long time to get to 159 episodes. And considering for the last 12 months, we've probably done two episodes. Completely honest, I got burnout. It really just got too much. Trying to do the podcast, trying to do all the socials, trying to do, you know, everything that were going on at the time. It honestly just felt like it was way too much and I needed a break. But hey, here we are. We're not giving up and we're not going anywhere. We're powering through and we will get to that 1,000th episode. Guys, for the first episode back, I really wanted to do a real talk because I think that's what we need. It's what I need to put out there, and I know for a fact there's so many people that need to hear it. Guys, life is fucking hard. It's not meant to be easy, you know, and throw in the pressures of, you know, social media, throw in the pressures of, you know, financial stress, throwing the pressures of, you know, kids and the different, you know, levels that they're at and the different ages they're at, your relationship with your partner, you know, what you're doing at work, and, you know, then trying to live and, you know, be healthy and try and train and do everything else that you're doing on top of that. It's tough. I get it. And as a matter of fact, I've been suffering with my mental health, well, you know, for quite a while to be truthful with you, but really severely for the last 4 to 5 months, to a point where, and you know, I've put it on the socials recently that, you know, I took a plane. I was going over to LA for a week, only a couple of weeks ago now, and had to fly from Brisbane to Sydney, then from Sydney to Fiji, and then Fiji to LA, and you know, I consider myself a seasoned traveler. Now, I've spent more time overseas this year than I have in the country. On top of that, I'm very versed to traveling solo. I am, you know, extremely comfortable in the past with traveling solo, adventuring solo, and literally doing everything, you know,
I want, with no retribution, fear, or, you know, things coming to haunt me. Anyway, I got to Fiji, and as I mentioned, I've been suffering quite, you know, severely over the last couple of months with my mental health, and I don't know what happened. I was about an hour out from landing in Nadi, and I was just freaking the fuck out on the plane. I just wanted to get there, basically go through immigration and get on the next plane home. I started, you know, stressing out. I just had the worst panic, anxiety, and, you know, stress I've ever had in my life. Throw in that now I'm in a different country. You know, I've just spent an exuberant amount of money getting to LA. I've now got to spend even more money to get back to Australia. And there on the board is 3 hours before the next flight, which just so happened to be a Virgin flight back to Brisbane. But the Wi-Fi was cutting in and out. I had already, because I was a transit passenger, or, you know, it was a connecting flight through Fiji, stop over for an hour or two. I didn't go through immigration. So I just went through the, you know, normal transit back to the, you know, the terminal and get ready to go to the gate. Well, I booked the flight back to Australia through this dodgy Wi-Fi that was cutting in and out. All well and good. But I forgot that I had to then go back out of the terminal and check in for the new flight. Even though I only had carry-on, I still had to go out and, you know, go through, you know, the bells and whistles of, you know, immigration. So I started walking downstairs and I got pulled up by these, you know, immigration officials who were lovely, don't get me wrong, and explained the situation and just said, I need to get back to Australia, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they take me into the room. Yep. Okay, that's fine. We'll take you out to the terminal, check in for your new flight. You know, as all this is happening, the fire alarm starts going off. The fire alarm in the terminal, the whole terminal gets cleared. So because I was downstairs, I just got taken out to the front of the terminal with all the other passengers that were waiting to check into the flight without having to go through immigration. So essentially I'm now in Fiji, free without actually anyone knowing that I've actually admitted myself to Fiji. So I go to check in my flight. That's all well and good. The staff there are amazing. Go to immigration, do the line up. 15 minutes later, I get to the desk, hand them my passport. Who are you? I just arrived about 2 hours ago. I'm actually flying home, you know, because of these issues. But you never entered the country, so we can't exit you from the country because you never actually arrived into the country. So then it started a whirlwind. At this stage, I'm thinking that I'm about to get on a plane. I'm, you know, settled down a little bit. And it just, my stress levels just heightened to a, you know, a level where I've never experienced. Literally, like, that boiling point of, you know, going to just flip out. So once again, I'd get taken to another immigration room and start getting questioned, like, why are you checking in? How long have you been here? You know, showing them all the boarding passes, the tickets that were only booked that day, you know, so on and so forth. Meanwhile, my plane is doing the last boarding calls, and, you know, that's starting to, you know, play on my mind as well, that if these guys don't let me through here, I'm going to miss this plane. And then I actually don't know what's going to happen because I haven't been admitted to the country. I've already checked in. I was starting to really stress out, freak out, and just have the worst, you know, sort of anxiety that I've ever experienced. Anyway, shout out to the immigration officials at Fiji. They were actually the most loving and supporting, you know, people that I've ever dealt with in any airports around the world. I managed to make the flight by 1 minute. I was the last one to board the plane. And so after about 20 hours, being a whirlwind trip, made it back to Brisbane about midnight. My lovely wife and couple of kids came and picked me up, and yeah, it was good just to get back to familiar surroundings and you know, just embrace that family connection that I didn't realize I needed, you know, so much. And it's allowed me now to, you know, be a lot more open. You know, I've got family and friends who have never known that I've been struggling like this for, you know, the best part of, you know, 7 or 10 years, because I was one of the dads or one of the men out there who, you know, I didn't want to mention it because that would make me feel weak. Here I am trying to be this motivating, encouraging, you know, fitness fanatic trying to change the world. You know, I can't have people think that, you know, I'm weak. I can't have people think that I've got issues. I can't have people think that my, you know, physical or mental, you know, fitness is not up to scratch to be able to help them out. So it's been an interesting couple of weeks. You know, I use social media to motivate, encourage, inspire, educate. And, you know, from all accounts, I do an all right job at it. And I think why I like doing it via social media is I can do it via a video, which is 1 to 3 minutes, or even a podcast medium, or even, you know, an Instagram post, a caption, a motivational, you know, caption written on the picture, and then, you know, a spill. And I can just write it as it is in that moment, or whatever's coming off, you know, out of the head, or an experience that I've been through. But it's usually the end of it. So I can get it off my chest. I can put it out there into the wider world. And yes, it's going out to hundreds of thousands of people. But at the same time, I don't necessarily have to speak about it. Because that's something I figured out over the last couple of weeks, you know, talking about it with my family, my friends, my extended family that have reached out, you know, army mates and different people, is I actually really don't like talking about my issues. And I think it's because of that guilt of I don't want them to think that something's wrong, or I don't want them to feel sorry for me or put me in another basket to, you know, what they might perceive me to be at. And that's why I think with the social media, with the emails, with the podcast, I can just say it. And yeah, there might be a few comments, there might be a few messages, but I can hide behind text. I don't have to actually then have a conversation about it. I don't have to then go on about it. Sort of, it's put out there, I've got it off my chest, and it's done. We move on, next day, next email, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, I think that that's something that a lot of us men, a lot of us fathers, you know, suffer with, is that pride of not wanting to be labeled, you know, I don't even know the right word, not wanting to be labeled something that, you know, you don't feel you are. And not that it's necessarily going to come to that. Like, there's been more compassion and more, you know, help and, you know, not really advice, but just people letting you know that they're there and they also go through it than, you know, any backlash. In fact, there's been no backlash or negativity on the whole thing. And, you know, it's taken me a long time to get to this stage. You know, I've got family members, you know, immediate family members who didn't know I was struggling. They didn't know anything was wrong with me. And that's not because, you know, they haven't been observant. It's not because, you know, they haven't cared. In fact, you know, we have a really close relationship with both sides of our family. And, you know, we see them all the time. I think it's just my ability to be very good at hiding the situation and be very positive when internally I might actually be hurting. You know, or in the past when I've abused, you know, painkiller medication or Valium or something like that, because, you know, I've got many of physical injuries from my military days as well, and they get addictive. They honestly do. And, you know, the thing with the pain medication is, you know, yeah, I can convince myself any time of the week that my knee or back or shoulder or anything is sore. And, you know, 90% of it is sore, but is it sore enough to have an Endone? Is it sore enough to have an OxyContin or, you know, Valium or a strong anti-inflammatory? Not always. It, you know, Panadol or Nurofen or something over the counter strong enough to, you know, get you through that night's sleep? Probably. But when you build up a, you know, a tolerance for having these type of medications, all of a sudden one isn't enough. The Panadol doesn't touch the walls. So now you're having a, you know, a painkiller and a Valium and an inflammatory, because now it gives you that new, you know, sense of, hey, my injuries don't hurt anymore. Plus, hey, it's actually given me some sort of high and I actually feel quite good. And hey, I'm going to get a good night's sleep, because that's one of the other things that I've struggled with and more of lately is, you know, insomnia and waking up at 1, 2, 3 a.m. and just laying there and, you know, not being able to get back to sleep. So, you know, the thought of being able to have some, you know, medication to help get a good night's sleep, it's like, well, you know, yeah, I'm not in pain tonight, but I know it will send me to sleep in half an hour and I know I won't wake up until my alarm goes off. So, hey, like, you know, we got to take the good and the bad. And it just, it's a vicious downwards spiral that honestly, you know, doesn't do anyone any good. You know, especially internally in inside your body, you know, you're not present. You're not, you know, really there from the time you take that tablet, you know, about half an hour later, it's sort of good night. And, you know, it's not good. And hence why, you know, recently I fucked up my back again and same thing, back's fucked up. Had to get on the, you know, the diazepam just to help the spasms and stuff like that. But, you know, back settles down after a week and all of a sudden 2 weeks later, you're still on them. And I got to the point where I was like, fuck, this is like, honestly, not good. I need to do something about this. And I literally, you know, got the tub. I ended up giving it to my wife and saying, can you hold on to this? Because, and if I need one, I'll ask you for it, because that just become a stage where I was just grabbing them. And, you know, I asked her for the tub and I just tipped it down the toilet. Because if it's in the, out of the house, sorry, it's, you know, the best thing for me personally. But yeah, it's, you know, enough of, I guess, my story and, you know, the struggles that you, 99% of you, you know, wouldn't realize. You see the Fit Dad lifestyle as, you know, encouragement, motivation, inspiration, education, support, and it still will be that. But, you know, a lot of the stuff I preach and a lot of the things that I sort of pass on, 90% of them are my own experience. I'm not just pulling stuff out of a textbook or seeing something on a YouTube video and going, hey, you know, that would be great to talk to, you know, today. It's stemming from personal experience. It's stemming from a place where, you know, as a father of a 9, 6 and a 2-year-old, you know, I've experienced quite a bit. You know, I haven't entered the teenage years yet, but I know the struggles that dad's going through. I know the struggles that families go through. And I know it from a angle of also having, you know, my own businesses in the past, working, doing, you know, fly in, fly out to different countries in the past, and, you know, military background on top of that, of being, you know, personal trainer for 10 years. So, you know, there's a wide range of experience that has helped get it to this stage and get the body, you know, both physically and mentally to a level of understanding and a level of compassion and a level of, you know, education that not only allows me to work on myself to the best abilities, but to pass on advice that I've been through, and also advice that I've known other people to have gone through, and help fast track people so they don't have to fall into those, you know, pitfalls and speed bumps of, you know, their own journey. And probably leads me into, there are people out there, there's men, fathers, you know, veterans, people that you know, really close to you right now that are fucking hurting. They're struggling. They're really doing it tough. And you don't know any different. You see the highlight reel on social media. You see that 1% highlight reel. You see them, you know, in passing on the street. Hey, mate, how you going? Yeah, good, thanks. That's about the brunt of it. You see them at the footy. You see them at the pub. Everything's always good. But let me tell you, probably 80% of those people, they're hurting on the inside. Not everyone is as perfect as they make out to be. Not everyone is living that dream life that they make out to be. They're typically, and if you went like looked at it from a gym perspective, the biggest, strongest, you know, muscliest, ripped guy in the gym, who you think is just like this big meathead, you know, crushing life, fucking nothing can touch him, you know, usually the one that's struggling the most. And, you know, you don't ever think anything because he looks like he's got it figured out. He's tough, he's scary, he's daunting, he's, you know, fit, he's, you know, whatever you want him to be. And now, how could he be suffering? You know, how could he be hurting when, you know, he's like this? And it might be the guy at work. It might be the guy with 10 years experience, his own business, you know, 20 staff under him, looks like he's on top of the world. It's these people that, you know, you look at that you think are, you know, crushing it in life, that are typically the ones hurting underneath. And they're hurting, you know, not for any other reason, you know, that you've done wrong in not noticing it, but it's something that could have been, you know, related to their childhood, related to a past, you know, relationship, related to work, you know, previous work, or, you know, it could be absolutely anything. You know, people, there's no reason why, you know, someone needs to be, you know, suffering. It can come from a million different things. So, guys, I just want to finish with, you know, look after yourself first and foremost, because it's the old saying, when you're on an aeroplane, you need to apply your own mask before you can help that of others. So if you're not looking after yourself, you might be able to wing it for 1, 3, 5, 7, 20 years, but there will come a time where you will break physically or mentally, or maybe just due to ill health. And then who's going to look after you? Just keep an eye on that one. You may think you can do it all, but make sure you're looking after your first. And on top of that, check in with your mates. Now, it's easy to say. You know, you hear it all the time. It becomes a buzzword, you know, mental health days and, you know, are you okay days and this and that. And it's great for a day. Everyone chucks a post up on their social media and, you know, expects the world to just open up and, you know, all be perfect. But the other 364 days a year, check up on a mate. Every day, you're in the car commuting to work, you're on the way back from the gym, you're out on the run, ring up, send a text message. Just ask how they're really doing. Now, they're, you know, just like I've done in the past, you may not get anything out of them. It may be 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years. They might keep telling you, yeah, all good, buddy. You know, how are you? And that might be the response. But just knowing that you're there in that time of need is going to give them the confidence to be able to come to you and say, hey, I'm actually not doing too good. My mind is fucking going to, you know, all these dark places, and I'm not too well at the moment. I think I need help. I need to talk to someone, because if I keep going down this track, I'm going to do something seriously stupid and it's not going to benefit me or my family. That's the conversation that's going to come to you once they feel comfortable or know that you're truly in their corner and truly, you know, there for them. So guys, do me a favor. Look after your own health and fitness first and foremost. Keep checking in on your mates. Keep checking in on those people that you don't even think there would be an issue because you see them or you compare yourself against them as being the most, you know, strongest and strong-willed, you know, people out there. Size, fitness levels, status, financial situation, it doesn't matter. Everyone can be hurting in silence. And just because you think they're doing well, it doesn't mean anything. Have the most amazing day. Hug your children tight. And keep crushing fatherhood. Cheers.